The Union of Concerned Scientists convened a panel discussion this past week with representatives from the states of Florida, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, and Virginia, plus the Army Corps of Engineers, to compare ways cities and counties are dealing with sea level rise, storm surge, and coastal flooding, and what best practices might be used for mitigating these problems. To begin, panel members describe what happened during Hurricane Sandy, starting with Catherine Garcia, COO for the New York Department of Environmental Protection.
The hurricane's record storm surge submerged many of the city's wastewater treatment plants and their electrical equipment and degraded their ability to pump and treat wastewater. 10 of the city's 14 wastewater treatment plants and more than 40 of our wastewater pumping stations were damaged by the hurricane. Our crews worked around the clock to pump out the seawater and make repairs to electrical equipment. And on November 3rd, just 5 days after the storm, DEP was treating 99% of all of New York City's wastewater, approximately 1.3 billion gallons.
Garcia said there was very good pre-planning, but what took New York by surprise was the vulnerability of fuel supplies and how many employers they depend on were affected themselves by the hurricane, like deputy commissioners to plant chiefs, where they were dealing with the loss of their homes or extensive damage by the hurricane. Stephen Marks is the assistant business administrator from the city of Hoboken, New Jersey.
The city of Hoboken, for those of you who don't know, is approximately 1 square mile with 50,000 residents across the Hudson River from Midtown Manhattan. During Hurricane Sandy, it was estimated that approximately 500 million gallons of water from the Hudson River came in basically over the coastline and stayed within the city for a week to 10 days. We lost power from our three electrical substations for, again, between 7 to 10 days.
Mark said 80% of Hoboken is within a floodplain. Supermarkets and groceries were underwater, and 40,000 people were stranded in their homes, and he said they had no way to feed them. Kristen Jacobs is the mayor of Broward County, Florida. She said Hurricane Sandy didn't hit Florida.
But boy, were we impacted by it. What ended up happening was it occurred, of course, as everyone knows, at high tide and during a lunar high tide. And that meant that when the storm passed us, literally A1A, which is a major evacuation route through the city of Fort Lauderdale in Broward County, fell into the ocean. The street lights, the parking meters, the sidewalk, the iconic elements of the beach fell into the water, and the cost of that were huge.
Jacob said because Florida's frequently hit by hurricanes, 4 years ago they formed a multi-county compact because there was never enough federal money for coastal preservation.
One of the reasons the compact was formed in the first place was the absence of leadership on the statewide side. So I often think that local governments are actually the adults in the room, and Congress and states sometimes seem like the children in that they don't want to take on the hard issues. And so by addressing them locally and building a consensus amongst a third of the state's population between the four-county compact and now a resiliency and sustainability plan that reaches seven counties all the way up to Martin County, we surely have understood how best to work through these issues, how these are not partisan in nature, and how, you know, the truth is at the end of the day, when the salt water is coming up through the river or through the canal and it's overtopping and filling up your swimming pool, no one really cares what party you're from. I have to say, though, on the state side, the four county, one of the 107 different recommendations that we all adopted, one of those that the state implemented for us 2 years ago was the identification of adaptation action areas in the state to start to understand where our vulnerable areas around the state are, and that perhaps when we start to prioritize or spend dollars, we have to prioritize it based on some of those vulnerabilities.
Some solutions are elevating homes, building seawalls and floodgates, using marshlands and artificial reefs as storm surge buffers, and rethinking continual development in some of the most vulnerable areas. Some municipalities are considering elevating their entire towns. Joe Vitri is the director of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and said there's a significant storm event every 30 years. And they're working on a plan of recommendations, but he said by the time the plan is finished, and where we are right now, start of hurricane season in June, and in the Northeast, the most affected months are the latter part of the fall and early October, most of us are going to be vulnerable through this season.
Sometimes the word retreat is I think, its own worst enemy. I would rather call it adaptation. We look at a large range of alternatives, including basically relocating people out of the flood hazard areas. It's not the first time. Certainly, in terms of coastal efforts, it's not usually done. But I can tell you right now that non-structural also includes elevating houses, elevating homes, providing protection for infiltration of seawater through storm drains and other things of that sort. So non-structural takes on a whole different suite of alternatives besides just removing the people from the water. It actually includes elevating homes and structures out of the floodplain.
The full panel discussion can be found on the WBAI website. For WBAI's Evening News, I'm Rebecca Miles reporting.